Dear congregation, this morning our text comes from a very unlikely source. They are words of the prodigal son in the parable that Christ told. And they are the words which Christ himself put into the mouth of someone who was still lying in the muck of sin. Someone who had squandered everything he had. Someone who had made poor choice after poor choice. You wonder if you could ever find a text in the heart and mind of such a person. But there is a text, and a beautiful text at that. You see, we have a number of things we can learn from this young man. A change has come into this man's heart and thinking. Yes, it's at the very beginning. But really, three changes have happened here to this prodigal son. There's been a shift, first of all, from madness. The madness of sin to reason. He came to himself. For the first time, he had a straight thought. There was a shift from pride to submission. He had learned that the pride of his heart had led him everywhere but away from God. And it yielded a harvest of emptiness. And now finally here he's come to the end and he's submitting. And it's a change, thirdly, from despondency to hope. He has abandoned all his self-made hopes that carried him along from friend to friend and from party to party and from job to job. And until now, he's despaired of his own hope and he's looking. Is there any hope on the horizon? And in light of this change in his heart and life, this man says something most remarkable, something which is a text and a glorious text and the most suitable text also for this morning's service. And so with the Lord's help, we wish to reflect on this phrase that you find in Luke 15, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." Well, our theme with God's help this morning is bread enough and to spare. And we wish to see two thoughts briefly now and the third at the table, Lord willing. The thoughts now are the power of this truth in his heart. And secondly, the proclamation of this truth to our hearts. Bread enough and to spare, the power of this truth in his heart and the proclamation of this truth to our hearts. The power. Power was needed in this young man's life because another power had been at work, a power that had pulled him away from his father's house. Something that had been brewing within him. Till that moment, he couldn't stand it anymore. And his wayward heart pulled him away from the Father's house. No matter the dangers, no matter the shame he was bringing on himself and his family, no matter that he was leaving behind everything that had ever done him any good, this, friends, is the power of sin in your life and in my life. It's this insane pull towards destruction, towards misery, towards hell. And apart from the powerful grace of God, every one of us is a slave, a captive to this power of sin. "Give me the portion of goods that falls to me," he demands. In other words, "Father, I can't wait till you are dead. In fact, you're as good as dead to me now. I want my inheritance now." That's what this power of sin does in his heart and in his life. And do you see him going there down the driveway, leaving home? I'm free, he says in his insanity. I'm getting far away from here. He wants as much distance between himself and his past and this father of his. Goodbye, strict upbringing. Hello, riotous living. I'm on my own now. I'm my own master. Friends, in our fallen Adam, this is your story and this is my story. I hope you've recognized it in your heart, experimentally, that this is you and me by nature. This pull towards sin, towards misery, at all costs, even towards hell. That's the hold that sin has on your and my life. And in order to be stopped on this mad dash towards hell, we need a greater power working upon us. You know, we resist conscience. We resist reason. We resist people around us. We resist the law of God. We resist those loving parents, godly elders, and others who seek to pull us back. You know, this pull towards death is that powerful. Do you know what I'm talking about? Things were so bad in the heart and life of this young man that even when his money ran out and the famine came on, this young man continues on, headstrong. I'll become the hired hand of a farmer. No matter that he's a pig farmer, no matter that he's a Gentile pig farmer, something that Jewish boys would stay far from. But his desperation is driving him. He even gets to the point where he would eat the pig's food if only they would have let him. But they don't. Do you see how long he holds out? If the power of sin had not been checked, the day would have come when the boss would have come out into the field and he would have seen the lifeless corpse, this prodigal, famished, dehydrated, dead. Friends, that's what sin does. It does. Left to itself, unless there is this greater power, this greater power that reached into this young man's soul as he lies there in the muck of this pig pen, when all of a sudden, three shafts of light radiate into his mind and into his heart. Three thoughts. The first is this: how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? That's the first thought. The second thought is, and I perish with hunger. Notice these two thoughts, first of all. Notice how they're opposites of each other. There's food back home, enough and to spare. Even hired servants have food enough and to spare. And the other thought is, and I perish. Do you see how these thoughts go together? They're two sides of the same coin. The one thought is hopeful. There is hope. The other thought is honest. I perish with hunger. And friends, isn't this a picture of what God does in true repentance? When he brings us to our senses, brings us to ourselves, he makes us to see both these things. Our sin, yes, we're honest. We're at an end. I perish. But at the same time, He nurtures within us, perhaps even faintly, but this hope. There's bread. There's something, somewhere. There's hope. There's some way out. Well, friends, this is how it is whenever God has dealings with our souls and with our lives. It's not, and it can't be just misery. Oh, yes, that's there. The honest facing of our sin and of our misery. But you know, when all you have is that, that's simply a worldly sorrow. That's a moroseness. That's not true repentance. True repentance, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, has within it, ever so small perhaps, this apprehension of divine mercy, some ray, some dot on the horizon that's different in the midst of the blackness all about. I perish, yes, but there is bread. And when God in true repentance works these two thoughts together in your heart and in your life, and you toss them around and God is working them out, I'm lost, but there is hope. I'm a sinner, but there is salvation. And something happens, and that's the third thought that comes like a shaft of light into this prodigal's mind. It's this: I will arise. I will arise. I perish. There's bread. I will arise. I'm going home. I'm coming home. You see the prodigal lifting himself up. He's arising as from the dead. And he takes step after step, pulled along by the thought there is yet hope. Friends, I told you it was power that this young man needed to turn him from his strong-willed rebellion and from his sin. And it's power that you and I need. Power, you say? How are these two shafts of light, how are they powerful? They're just thoughts. They're just words. There's bread enough and to spare, and I perish. Is that power? Is that power? You'd expect a voice from heaven. You'd expect thunder, lightning, maybe the appearance of an angel. But here, two thoughts enter into this young man's soul. But they are power. They are powerful. The Bible tells us that the weakness of God is stronger than man. And man's strength. You see, he uses weak means every time. Again, he uses weak means to work to his praise and to his glory. Do you know this power? This divine power in your heart and in your life? No matter how sunken down you were in sin, it came to you. Not the righteous, but sinners. Jesus came to save. And God so worked by His Spirit in your heart that this resolve was born. I will arise. No, friends, this prodigal didn't arise from the mud of sin because of his own works, but the power of God prevailed over him, and it still does that today. It's done so in many of our hearts we trust, and it's that power, that grace which we celebrate today, especially today on this high and holy day of the Lord's Supper. The power at work in this man's heart. But secondly, there's a proclamation here. A proclamation to our hearts, to you and to me, no matter who we are and whatever stage we are of life. I find this so astounding that this prodigal, still in the mud of sin, he's become an evangelist. Because he says something that you and I are hearing. There's bread. There's bread enough and to spare. He says it in such a way that you and I hear it. Of course, Christ is speaking here, isn't He? But it's this prodigal. He's using this prodigal as a platform. There's bread, friends. There's bread enough and to spare. It's kind of like the thief on the cross. One moment he's cursing Christ next to him and rebuking. And then he turns to his partner in crime and starts rebuking him. What is happening? It's grace. Grace has made this prodigal already somewhat of a preacher to us. And he comes to you and to me and he says to you and to me this morning, there's bread enough and to spare. Well, friends, are you here today famished because you found that nothing else will satisfy you? You've tried it all and you're still hungry. There's bread enough to spare. Are you here today and you're hungry for mercy? Because nowhere can you find mercy for your sin-sick soul. There's bread enough to spare. Have you gone a long time without food? Spiritual food. Is your heart parched and thirsty, hungry? There's bread enough to spare. You know, this prodigal knew about the bread in his father's house. He had lived there. He had seen his father at work every day. This must have been the kind of father who told his kitchen staff, make tons of bread every day. We don't know who needs it. Who might come to our doorstep? Make bread enough and to spare. And he was always handing out bread. No matter who, servants, the lowliest, there's bread here, there's bread. And that look in his eyes when he would give bread comes back to the prodigal even now. You know, this was a house in which if you were a beggar in the street, you'd go there. There was bread enough and to spare. Lazarus, who lay at the rich man's gate, he should have gone to this man's house. There was bread enough and to spare. When the prodigal lived there, it didn't mean anything to him. It may have even aggravated him. He may have despised his father for this generosity. Why is he always handing out this bread to these worthless people that come to the door? Why? But now in his misery, he can't shake the thought of his father. His father's eyes and his father's hands and that bread. He can smell that bread. He needs it now. He needs that Father, the Father's love. Friends, there's bread enough and to spare in God, in the triune God, with the Father of all mercies, the God of all comforts. There's bread enough and to spare with Him. He's full of compassion. He's full of mercy. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. The ravens cry and God feeds them. How much more His image bearer, His fallen image bearer, food He daily gives the hungry. There's bread enough and to spare with the Father. And how about the Son? Oh, there's bread enough and to spare with the Son. Didn't He say, I am the bread of life. He that eateth Me will never hunger. He that believeth on Me will never thirst. He is the manna come down from heaven that He might give life unto souls. Never hunger, never thirst when you have Christ, the Redeemer of sinners. Bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. Bread enough and to spare with the Son. There's bread enough to spare with the Holy Spirit. There's more than enough with the Holy Spirit. There's provision. There's strength. There's grace. There's light. There's wisdom. There's beauty. There's everything a poor sinner might need is in Christ and in the Holy Spirit who takes it out of Christ. Friends, I'm proclaiming to you. I may proclaim to you. This God who has bread enough and to spare. He has it for hired servants. He has it for beggars. He has it for weary travelers that knock on his door. He has bread enough and to spare. With God, the storehouses of bread are never emptied. Just think of it. In the wilderness, Israel had manna drop down out of heaven for millions of people every day. And like someone said to me this week, the storehouse of God was not any the emptier because of it. When Jesus multiplied the loaves there on the seaside of Galilee, He broke enough bread. There was 12 baskets left over, as if to say there's bread enough and to spare. Where are the people to take from the riches that lie in myself? There is a superabundance, friends, with this God of grace. There's bread enough and to spare. If you're here this morning and you don't have bread, it's not because there's not bread enough and to spare. If you don't have bread this morning, it's not because there's not enough bread with God. For every needy sinner who longs for, needs bread, God has bread. Can you say it this morning? Children of God, can you say it? Just look over your past life. Yes, there were days without bread, but whose fault was that? With the Lord, there's always enough and to spare, isn't there? And Christian among us, as you review your life, can't you agree with the poet when he said, "All that I needed, thy hand hath provided." There's bread enough and to spare. Where sin is great, grace is greater. Paul says, where sin abounded, grace superabounded. With God, it's always overflowing. There's so much. There's bread enough and to spare. Friends, at the beginning, I said that the words of our text were words from the mind of a prodigal still in the muck of sin. And that's true. Christ was telling this parable. But in a certain sense, come with me a moment, the words of our text were spoken way before that. They were spoken in the glories of the never begun eternity when the Father and the Son and the Spirit held counsel together. And the Father said, "There is bread enough and to spare." And He said to His Son, "Son, thou be the bread, and to the Spirit thou go and plant this thought in the hearts of prodigal sinners. There's bread enough and to spare." And the Son has come. And there on Calvary He stretches out His arms as if to say to the world, "There's bread enough and to spare with me." And the Spirit is going about into the swine stalls of our world. And He plants this thought in hearts like yours and hearts like mine. There's bread enough and to spare. That's what happens when heaven's provision comes into hell's misery. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's bread enough and to spare. There's love. There's more than enough. There's grace. There's more than enough. There's bread enough to spare. Amen.